I'm Bobby Connor, and I am the author of a book called Unplugged Play. You're listening to Melissa on Raising Playful Tots.
Thank you for joining me for this episode of Raising Playful Tots. I'm really glad that you could stop by today. My name is Melissa, and welcome to The Play Space. It's here that we focus on play that we want to see and experience in our homes. We cover play-related topics to inspire, teach, challenge, and lead us to have a great time with these kids. And also so that we can introduce a new play idea. If you're new to the show, welcome. And hi to the regular playmates. Plenty of room, so come join us as we listen to the little guy tell a story as we write it. Inspired thanks to an idea from a recent post from Mama Smile called Raising Imaginative Kids, Lily Writes a Story. And you can find that at mamasmiles.com, Raising Imaginative Kids, Lily Writes a Story. Well, hello, and I hope you're having a fine week with your little one. You know, when you get caught in the rain, it's not so much fun. Well, not usually. Out with friends and our kids this week, we were caught in the rain. Pretty typical for England and where we live, to be honest. But we could shelter. Just about. Sitting in hard rain falling with kids was really an experience. Of course, it was mad clear sunshine. An hour later, and my boys talked of nothing else for the rest of the day. How that we had mad floods. What would have happened if the rain hadn't stopped? Why was it so loud? Where's all the water gone? Because it's just flowing and flooding everywhere. No one would believe us if we said how loud that rain was and how much rain had come down. Being still in the rain was just a little bit magical this week because we didn't have to be anywhere. We were delightfully muddy and windswept. All of this whole story of the rain saga was recounted again over the dinner table that night. And it's moments like these, moments like these, moments like these that I hold in my heart. You couldn't have planned for that to have happened. A spectacular downpour that lasted for quite a long time, maybe 10, 15 minutes, or maybe it just felt that way. A group of friends sheltering meant that we had great conversations, albeit we had to shout a little bit to be heard. Not only great conversations then, but great conversations later. But with the slow downtime, we had nowhere to go, nowhere to be, but we could walk and talk and experience an afternoon. There was the space and the time for this type of thing to happen. So we got to experience a bit of a magical rainstorm. This wasn't on our bucket list, but we still got to experience a magical rainstorm. Today we're talking about planning for slowed down moments so that simple parenting and simple play happens. I read an article this week, maybe you read it too, it's called I'm Done Making My Kids' Childhood Magical. And I'll leave a link for it in the show notes. If you've not read it, it's well worth a look. Maybe you've seen it too, maybe you haven't, but the link's there so you'll be able to pop over and have a look at that. The writer talks about the modern pressure mothers are under to produce amazing everythings, you know, from amazing parties to amazing crafts for their kids to making sure that they have the most fashionable clothes. Instead, she shares what she would like to see instead and what she's doing. It really is an interesting read, although I have a real problem with some of these types of articles. They tend to push us firmly into camps where you either completely resonate with what the writer is saying or it's the complete opposite of everything that you even truly think about. There's not the free flow camp of just wanting to do better from where we are because we have a vision of what or where we'd like to go as a family. It's true that with social media and the picture invasion, where we can take a picture of anything everywhere and hundreds and thousands of people can see it all at once, it's easy to feel the burden that the atmosphere and the memories that our children have are lacking. Lacking because we're not always going to be colour coordinated and themed and planned and perfect looking and tidy and meticulous and everything look good. But that has something to do with something else called Keeping Up with the Joneses. And as one of the commentators mentioned in that article, that is a problem that lots of us have, is trying to keep up with the Joneses. But keeping up with the Joneses is a difficult problem because the Joneses folks keeps changing all the time, who they are, what they are, and what's happening. So we keep having to go to a new beat of a new drum all the time, and it's exhausting. I think we can all attest to that problem happening, where we just feel as if we are being pulled along by this new thing, that new thing that we now have to do. But what if it was different? What if we could set out to find our own beat? I see that the kids liked the experience of the rain, being outside. It didn't kill us to get soaked, wet, and dirty. Hopefully it makes one of the fabulous retail stories that we like to do in our family. Well, I'm sure in all families we have these stories that you can't help but keep reminiscing over. I want to have more moments like this, so why not plan to have more times like this? So what's that? Slower, outside with a group of friends. So now we're actually starting to craft our family way. I can't speak for everyone in that group of friends, whether they all enjoyed being outside. Maybe this was a really miserable time for one or other of those mums that were there, or her children. But for us and our family, it really filled us up. So why not try and find more times like these? Not necessarily exactly the same thing, because you can't always recreate it, but actually find more times like this, building our own. This is what fills us up in our family set, our things that do that. And then we do them over and over again. I'm sure there are moments like this that you have that are peculiar and specific to your family that you could do over and over again, that really fill up your family, that you want to do over and over again. Picnics, trips, holidays, library visits, feeding the ducks, the ordinary and the special things that you look back on, you laugh about, you smile, you love to tell the story. The trouble is, we don't always plan to have some of these family activities. When I was getting married in the year 2000, I read, researched, bought so many bridal magazines, talked to everyone I knew about ceremonies. I was immersed in that world. I didn't know about vision or mood boards, but I had a trusty folder full of notes and a little scraps and fragments and pictures and ideas scribbled in a hardback book. For that one day, it wasn't even one day, for those 6 to 8 or 9 hours, hours and hours and hours, days probably if you added it all up, went into what I wanted, what I didn't want, what we wanted and what we didn't want, and a little of what my folks wanted and what they didn't want, to be fair, for just one day. We kind of drank and ate and slept weddings for a long time. Well, I certainly did. I remember loving a statue of a couple, and I thought that it would be really lovely to do something like that for us. It was in a magazine, of course. And I brought it up with my friends and my family and said, hey, this would be really cool. I think this would be really good. And they were the first to point out that it didn't fit with our understated plan. You're not into look at me stuff, Melitza, is what they said. So why would you get a 2-inch statue or whatever size it was of a happy couple? And it was meant to be a couple of us. They were right. We didn't get the couple. Instead of hundreds of dishes to choose from to form a sit-down meal menu, we had a few choices So our discussions were easier with the caterers. Any one of us could have had it because we had this cheat sheet, which we'd all agreed on, the types of foods that we did eat, we won't eat, the things that we thought would be good to have at the wedding, the things that we just didn't want to see on the menu at all. And at the time, it wasn't because we'd thought that that was a really good thing to do, it was because of our schedules. My husband's shift pattern, my boyfriend at the time, his shift pattern was such that we couldn't always get hold of him. I had really long work hours, so it was hard to get hold of me. My parents, who were also helping out, were also very busy as well with their work pattern. And so it meant that whoever had the chance to be able to call would have all of the information that was there. But that's actually a really neat idea to be able to do, to actually have everything all in one place, something that's been agreed on. We kind of called it our cheat sheet. He had none of his family locally, and there was a huge time zone difference as well. So it wasn't even that I could get somebody else on the phone. If we didn't have these ideas down, things couldn't move forward, and it would have been a really frustrating disaster. Fast forward to 2014, and I look now at the fact that we now have three smiley active boys, and I can say that I know I hadn't devoted the same amount of time into how we wanted them to turn out further than the first few months. So you can contrast that with the amount of time I spent on the wedding and deciding what the wedding was going to be like, the ceremony, everything, the amount of time I devoted to that, and yet the amount of time I devoted to how I wanted my boys to develop didn't last longer than the first few months of when they were born that I'd researched and studied and looked at. All the books, ideas and everything came to a groaning halt and funneled into developmental issues and development issues. Is he speaking enough? No, in our case. Oh no, what do we do? Is he walking on time? Is he eating right? Has he got the right solids? My world became really, really narrow, away from the big picture of who did I want him to become? I have three boys, so I can say him because I only have boys. How am I getting him to be that person? I'm not even talking about being an adult. What type of tween or teenager do I want him to be? How do I want to share time with him? How do I want to give him space? These are really big, powerful things that we should be considering, and I hadn't even thought of doing anything like that. My focus was really narrow on development. And I don't know how it got to be like that. Why was it like that? Where was the cheat sheet, the poring over things that would work for us? Where was the lookout and the looking out for what worked and trying to do the same it from other people? Why hadn't we been learning from other people as we went along? Why had we got so narrow? We'd got stuck. Stuck in the struggles of parenthood. And I think most of us can relate that we get stuck every once in a while. We devote so much time to planning our vacation, our holiday, our weddings, the new kitchen, but we spend such a small amount of time planning on what we want our family to become, what we would like our children to turn out like at the end. And that's really important. But do we spend much time really thinking about it? Last year, I started working on creating a family haven so your family can thrive, which became my 7-week e-course program, where we start by exploring these foundational things. Things like looking to our family and deciding what we want to do as a family, and not constantly looking to others and imitating what they're doing, but finding a level that's our own. Filling our lives with people who are uplifting and encouraging, and guarding our time for those people who are dealing with their issues, but we still need to be around them. Not everyone is ready to dive into those waters and be all in with their family, and I get that. Some of our families are a bit scary, mine included. We need some trial runs and take a slow run up. Maybe we're not all in people. Well, me too. you want to ease into it and see what happens. You don't want to just throw everything out and try something new. I didn't know that while I like bucket lists, the idea of a bucket list, they were glory immediate lists that filled me with guilt more than anything I'd experienced before. But that's my deal. I see them differently now. Without thinking, I'm tied into these are the things I must do, tick, 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 but more these are the things that maybe we'll do. And that mindset shift happened because I tuned into how our family works the best. I actually started focusing on what's working best for our family and how do I do more of that. And I could see that the bucket list thing really just didn't fill us up and it didn't help us to have fun. It just seemed to make us be a slave to it. One of the times, and I can't remember when it is exactly, but my husband and I, we were reminiscing and telling stories about the trips that we'd had with the kids. It was a story about each of the individual children. You know the time when you say, oh, remember when I did this and I want to tell you this story, and you start telling the story and then they go, oh yes, I have a similar story, and then they tell another story and so on and back and forth. We realized that we liked it when we went out with one child only. And then we started talking about the fact that we should do this more regularly, because look, all of the stories we've just told for the last 20 minutes is about an experience that we had with one child, a conversation that came up that was quite funny, or an experience that we had when we were in a shop with that particular child. And wouldn't it be really cool if we could do this on a regular basis? And that's how it started. Individual child trips. Nothing big, expensive, or elaborate. We had the one rule: one child, time with one parent. For the busy dad, this filled him up and his son. For this plateful mother, this filled me up and the family. With my Simplicity Parenting Coach training and how we had stumbled and tripped through parenthood, we could see that being intentional about creating our family magic was where we should focus. Did we really do what mattered as a family? Did we have a plan? Yes, and that made buying decisions easier. Having a family plan made lots of things easier. We didn't feel the pressure quite the same way as before, because now we had a family plan, a way in which we were going to do things. We got this awakening because we'd started to plan our family direction. No more would we end up following the herd blindly because we hadn't stopped to consider. We hadn't stopped to consider because we were too busy or we didn't pay enough attention. We couldn't do everything, but we could do something. And that was a real, really big moment for us when we realized that, because there were so many times when we wanted to try things out and we thought this would be a really fantastic thing to do. Maybe it was a new menu plan system or a new discipline system or a way that we did stuff with the kids. But it always seemed huge that it would take over our whole lives, and we didn't have enough time to do it. My husband wasn't going to be there enough. We couldn't be supportive to each other. So we would just kind of give up and say, well, sounds like a good idea, but it would never get done. We were trying to do too many things. If you couldn't do everything, you can do something. And that really struck home, because instead of doing the really, really big things, we were starting to do some of the small things. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that a little later on. We liked the margin of planning, anticipating, and responding. We were tired of constantly reacting as our only default setting. Neither of us like that frame. I know lots of people can operate in the just do it right now and it's fine, but both my husband and I find it really tricky to move in a situation like that. It really makes us agitated and uncomfortable, and we've been operating like this for a long time just because. We wanted some space to reflect, observe, notice, and do more of those good things and stop doing that other stuff. And talking to other friends, they were experiencing the exact same thing. They wanted to do different things. And we could see the friends that were seemed like they were having fun times was because they were able to plan it and they were anticipating and responding to what was happening. So we knew it worked. There's less of the hand-wringing and worry as we just chug along, keeping our family in mind. We noticed how much time we'd spend with our kids and adjust it down. So if we were spending too much time together, we thought, you know, let's give them some space. Or up if we realized that we had been very busy that week and we hadn't spent very much time together. So we were able to adjust and see really where we were, depending not just on the thinking, we're not doing enough. We didn't have to rest in that guilty area. We could just see what we were doing and start making adjustments because of what we were doing in our family. I can't say that life is perfect. I can say, though, that it's better. It's amazing how, with a little focus on the things that are ticking along, those things that are neglected can improve the family atmosphere. Moving things from mediocre and good or muddling. Muddling, by what I mean I say muddling, is not that it's going wrong, it's just kind of you're just kind of keeping going and not really paying much attention to it. Moving these things from mediocre and good and muddling along to great or better. Taking the focus off the struggling area all the time that really pulls and drains our energy and focusing on the mediocre, the good, the okay stuff, and trying to move that from one step a little further to better or great. It seems like an awful lot of energy to move in our struggling area. So let's not dwell there all the time, is what we thought. I don't think there's a one size that fits all that can turn your bus around or can turn our bus around or anybody's bus around, because we're all different. For us, we decided we wanted to be more intentional about doing the things that we enjoy as a family and fill us up. By fill us up, I mean make us smile, make us laugh, have those memories and be able to retell stories. It's not going to be the same for everyone. And so that's why we wanted to focus on our family and what worked for us. And this is why I encourage other families to do exactly the same thing, is to be able to work on what works for you and your family and fills you up. Here's where we started. Number one, we read books about people who were doing this type of work already. Their positive stories and directions immediately helped us tick and cross things off our list. Tick, good idea for our family, let's try it, see where it gets us, sounds like a good plan. Cross, not for our family, doesn't look like we'd enjoy it, doesn't resonate with me straight away, not really sure, so no, not in this season. Or, star maybe, looks interesting for our family, not quite sure, maybe we need to put it on the back burner, roll it around our mind a little bit more, So we were beginning to get a sense of ideas that were coming in from different places. Then number two, we listened to podcasts, audiobooks, and people in real life. It's so much more encouraging when you've got real life people to hear their voice and see how their inflections, what they really mean by things. And you get that when you listen to a podcast, you get that when you hear audiobooks, and you get that when you're really with people in real life. We were around people that we admired, some people that we would never have access to. Usually we were able to hear their books and the sound of their voice and be able to really hear their words. And it felt as if they were mentoring straight to us personally. What were they doing that we could do well? So it was better to see the good things that they've done and how did they get to that position and be able to model that somehow in our family and try those things out. How did it work? The third thing we did was we shared and talked ourselves. As a couple, we have regular conversations about family, and it's not just a complaining as usual that he's done that, he's done this. How great is he? How terrible is he at this? But regular conversations about the problems of character and the things that we want to talk a little bit more about. Just the other day, we were talking about sharing again in the family. All the boys share a room at the moment. There are all three of them in there together. And of course, you've got the inevitable battles of space. Some are tidier than the others. And some, one of the boys has got very clever at being able to hide all his clothes that he should be putting away in his brother's pile, because then his pile looks a lot smaller. So, you know, just all of those types of conversations that you need to have. And so we're having regular conversations about things that are coming up and things that we want to discuss to do with the boys. We talk about us, the state of our marriage and how we feel about each other and how we feel about life. We talk about our goals and our dreams. And this way, neither of us feels left behind. When my husband said he wanted to start his master's program, I was fully on board with knowing how much time and effort would go into that. And as he saw the work that I was doing and working more with clients, he could see that I would need more time for this. So we were all both fully aware of what's going on, and we can help build each other's dreams and goals because we know what each other are thinking of doing and what they're planning to do. So we continuously have this conversation. Number four, we gave ourselves a break. And this is key. It's funny, whenever you start talking about these types of things to do with family, people often think that you're trying to get this perfect family and are almost looking for you to fail miserably. Well, we do, many, many times. We are by no means perfect. We're not trying to build mighty, invincible families, robust and true only. We're trying to build an intentional family, and so that means we will try things out, we will get things wrong, we will have days where things just seem to go completely wrong, and doesn't matter all our good intentions, the kids will be the kids and we will be who we are. It's just how it is, but we will still pick ourselves up, dust ourselves off, and keep going in the direction that we wanted to go in. Number five. We didn't dwell in that huge space of parenthood and family. It's so easy to feel defeated by the fact that we've got these small little people in the family and they seem to have the better of us sometimes. We picked specific areas instead. So instead of dwelling in that whole huge space of parenthood and saying, well, I've got problems in this area, this area, this area, and this area, we just chose specific areas and went small on there so that we could really do some work in that area and feel like we're really making progress. Number six, we didn't throw out all of our ideas. Just because we're being intentional now doesn't mean that we will stop being who we were and who we are, but we will examine what we're doing. We expect to stumble and trip and go in different directions, and we shouldn't feel paralyzed at the fact that we might go in circles or end up going down the same path again a few years later. Sometimes that just happens, that right now it didn't work for you to be doing dinner time conversations because the kids were just too young. You had this great idea, you thought that it would work, but the conversations just didn't work. It was too many problems that were happening on the table. So you just stopped doing it. But then you thought, well, let's go back to this 6 months, a year, 2 years later when the kids are older, or it's just a completely different dynamic at the dinner table. You might introduce it again. And we had no problem with doing that. We didn't feel that you could just try something once and then let go of it and say, well, you know, it just didn't work for us, so we're never, ever going to try it. But that took a long time to get to that position. We spent ages, I think, being quite resolute about things, saying, well, that doesn't work for us, so we're not going to go back there. And it wasn't until we were speaking to a good friend who reminded us of the fact that we really should retry certain things and kind of look at things with an open mind, that we realized that, yeah, that was quite a limiting thing for us, that we didn't circle back round and realize that that's what could happen sometimes. So even though we could go around in circles and circles, I had to accept that we did things with intention now. And with intention comes choices, and with choices come mistakes, and with mistakes come corrections, and we should just learn from them and move on. No more beating ourselves over the head with stuff. And the last thing we had was number 7, is that we knew that doing something is always better than doing nothing. We knew that doing something is always better than doing nothing. So a quick recap, here are the 7 areas that we started in. We read books of who were doing this already. We listened to audio, podcasts, audio books, and people in real life who we admired. We shared and talked amongst ourselves as husband and wife. We gave ourselves a break. We didn't think that we could do everything, but we tried to build an intentional family. Number 5, we didn't dwell in the huge space of parent and family. We were very specific about the areas that we decided to look at. We didn't go through number 6. We didn't throw out all of our ideas. We did expect to stumble and trip and go in different directions, but we accepted that with the intentions that we have, we will make choices, and some of those choices won't work out, but we should learn from those and know that for our family, that didn't work at that time. And number 7, which is probably our most important one, is that we knew that doing something is better than doing nothing. Instead of dwelling in that, it's too hard, there's too much, I can't do it, we knew that if we did something, it would be worthwhile. And that's the inertia that we really needed. Because we're play-based here on Raising Playful Tots and in real life, because we're about simple parenting ideas and combining these ideas into a planner made absolute sense. I'm not a big fan of planning, but I see that I spend time where I plan, and what I plan works. If I want to have family times that fill us up, I need to plan for them. Plan for them in my own family way. It doesn't matter that you spend all day at the weekend playing dress-ups, forts, and teddy bear picnics and parties, and I spend 5 minutes reading a book. What we usually see there is the comparison of time. You spend all day, I spend 5 minutes, therefore I'm lacking. No more with this type of thinking. What fills your family is what we should be thinking about. What fills my family? What fills my family? Maybe it's the 5 minutes. Maybe it's the all day. Maybe it's something in between. And maybe it changes. What fills your family? What happens if you don't know what fills your family? Well, the Simple Parenting and Play Planner helps you do exactly that. Guides, prompts, and ideas to gently help you decide what fills up your family. Who will your children become largely rests on what we do with them now. What did we think was valuable to share? Is it our time? Is it lots of slow time? Is it our frustration and our temper? Is it our yelling? Is it, in a minute, wait a second, let me just finish this. Is it our overbearing? Is it our micromanaging? Is it with our hat on as the entertainer? What is it? I was really nervous releasing a planner outside the usual New Year time, and I remember chatting to some friends and sharing those fears that people aren't ready to hear planning outside of December and January, surely. It was a worry because this planner is not a set down your ideas this year and leave it on the side, which tends to happen with a lot of the planning that we hear talked about in December and January. So I was kind of glad that I wasn't releasing the planner at the same time, because I didn't want that confusion to be there. This planner is much more a new member of the family. As you develop, it develops with you, because you write in it, not all the time and not every day, but as you add things to it, you get it out when you're having your family meetings, you use it, you add to it, you change it, and it keeps growing with you. This planner is a special planner because it's not just for day to day. It's for seasonal, it's for monthly, it's for annually, it's very cyclical. And it gives you a chance to be able to really build on what you're doing as family, because it's in the middle of your family. You're using it to power what happens next. Well, these past few weeks, if you're listening in April 2014, we've been on a planning blog tour, sharing the planner with families. We've been to quite a few places. We've been to My Healthy Beginning, The Mum Writes, Rainy Day Mum, Megan Flat, Pickle Bums, Bliss Beyond Nap Time, A Free Spirit Life, Simple Kids, and Plannerisms. All of these places we've been able to offer a giveaway, and they are all open right now if you are listening in April 2014. So you can blog hop your way through each blog and try and see if you get a chance to win one of the planners for free. I hope you take a look and check out some of these blogs, because all of these people are really fantastic and they've got a lot of amazing things to have a look at. If you are really into planners and like all things plannery, then Plannerisms is a place for you to go. And all of the other places are really good places for mums that work from home, mums that stay at home, mums that go to work. They all have amazing stuff that you would really enjoy. So I hope you pop over and take a look. I'll leave a link for that in the show notes for you to be able to pop on over and blog hop yourself. Just want to leave you with this last thing. My boys love the game freeze tag, and we just called it plain tag when I was growing up. You probably know it too. It's when you have a group of friends running around, one person is it, and they're able to tag one person, and they stay still. The person who's it continues to the next person, and they're trying to find them and tag them. And everyone else that's in the group is trying to rescue the person that stood still with their arms out, who is frozen. I don't know whether they have their arms out. We had our arms out when we were kids. While the game is going on, there's lots going on, right? There's lots of running about, dodging, weaving, hiding, having fun. No real time to observe or observe well. When you're tagged, for the first time, you can pause, watch, observe a better hiding place, see a different direction to go in, study the game a little, decide even if you want to play. The Simple Parenting Play Planner is that tagger. It gives you the time to pause, decide your family direction, and make new choices in your family. If you want to find out more about the Simple Parenting and Play Planner for yourself, pop on over to the tour or go to raisingplayfultots.com/SPPP. That's Simple Parenting Play Planner, SPPP. I'm curious to what you thought of the article, "I'm Done Making My Kids' Childhood Magical." How do you develop your family way without becoming discouraged by not measuring up? Be really curious to hear what you have to say about that. There's lots of ways of getting in touch here at Raising Playful Tots, and you always can go over to the website and see the different ways, because they'll all be listed there in the show notes for you to be able to do. And the show notes will be over at raisingplayfultots.com/160, because that's the show that we're on today, show 160. I am really thankful for you being here today. And I hope something that I've said has triggered you to investigate something more and has helped you make some decisions for your wonderful family so that you can continue to raise playful tots and create your family haven. There's a full archive of shows at raisingplayfultots.com/shows, and you can see podcasts by theme. So if you're looking for a show on diversity or language, maybe you fancy looking up something on emotional intelligence or music, play activities for toddlers or mark making activities and art, then there are specific subjects that you can check into and look at that. We have a wide range of different shows and interviews with other authors and writers in the educational field. So do check those out. See you again next time. Thanks. You've been listening to Raising Playful Tots, show number 160. Come over and play next week. Until then, find time for some unplugged play. Join with me each week as we share, learn, and laugh together about making the most of early childhood playtime. Goodbye!